it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio is on the air. The phone line is 84-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. Hey, folks, I got a little preview for you, a little foreshadowing of some new and amazing things that are coming to 420 Radio. The number one thing, we're going to be making some upgrades. We're going to be entering into a partnership with a company. I can't tell you more than that. But as part of the upgrades, number one, we will have a new codec for compressing and streaming our audio feed. Now, currently, I'm running the audio feed at 192 kilobit per second MP3. And now I'm told that I'm an idiot for doing that. First of all, they tell me talk only doesn't need that much bandwidth, but I always have to remind folks that we're more than a talk station. We also have music here. So I want to have high quality music. And then they tell me, well, 128K is CD broadcast quality. Why are you going 192? And I'm like, okay, I don't know. So there's that. But they also tell me, why are you using MP3? There's this new codec, HAACHE something. I don't know what it is. But anyway, it's beyond me. They tell me they can get better than 128K MP3 audio quality for a 32K stream. And the good news about that is those folks that might want to listen on the 420 Radio app on their smartphones, well, right now it eats a shit ton of your data because of the high quality stream. When we break this down to 32K, you'll use a whole lot less data. And hopefully that will boost our mobile listener numbers. So that's the number one thing that's coming up soon. Number two thing that's coming up soon is we'll be serving mainstream ads. You've been listening to a lot of the same ads from my sponsors for a long time here, but we'll also be getting a burst of, you know, who knows? Could be Home Depot, could be McDonald's. We don't know. We'll see what happens, but this new partnership may allow me to do that. And so we'll have a better experience here with 420 Radio. We'll have better streaming quality and more exposure. That's coming up very soon, hopefully before the Seattle Hemp Fest next month. So look forward to that. All right, back to the topic today. We're talking about the Sandra Bland case and shocking case here of a woman who was pulled over for failing to signal and arrested for not extinguishing her cigarette in her own car, and ends up dead in police custody 3 days later. Now, other details are beginning to emerge. Number one, they released her mental health evaluation form when she was checked into the jail, where she had checked, there's a question, are you thinking of committing suicide? She checked no. Are you thinking you're harming yourself? She checked no. Number two is the fact coming out that she was arranging for bond with her sister or somebody, and during the arrangement for bond had mentioned how she couldn't wait to get out of there and, you know, go forward with the court case and all of that. It's a little fishy that she'd then want to kill herself. Number three, they released a picture of the cell she was in where she allegedly hanged herself. Now, they're saying she hanged herself by taking a plastic liner, garbage can liner, and twisting it up to make a rope out of it, a ligature, and then using it to hang herself. Now, that's a little questionable because, number one, in what jail in America do they give you garbage cans and trash can liners? What the hell is up with that? I've never heard of anything like that. And number two, when they took a picture of the cell, it had a garbage can in it with another liner in it. And this was after she'd hanged herself. The jail pulled all those trash cans and trash bags and all that because of the obvious way they could be used to harm oneself. And probably the... Oh, and as you look at a picture of the jail cell, keep in mind that Sandra Bland was 6 foot tall. And there's nothing in that cell over 6 foot tall from which she could have hanged herself. Like her feet would touch. And she supposedly hanged herself. Somebody who was saying multiple times on the arrest tape, "Ooh, I can't wait for this to go to court. I can't wait for this to go to court." A woman who was trying to record the encounter so she could use it to take to court. Supposedly killed herself in her cell. A cell that just happened to be around the corner from where the cameras could see anything happening in the cell, even though there was an empty cell right in front of the cameras. But wait, it gets stranger. They released Sandra Bland's mugshot. In the mugshot, she's wearing the orange jumpsuit, and her eyes have this kind of spacey, empty quality to them. We'll talk about that when we come back. Because this mugshot, this is creepy.
Elitist. Just like any other dishwashing, burger-flipping, public school-educated, self-employed, bar band, musician, National Guardsman, he's Radical Russ.
We've also got some Daily Toker tunes coming up today. Irie Wednesday tunes coming to you. And we'll talk more about legalization in California and other stories happening in the world of marijuana. But more on Sandra Bland and the chilling mugshot when we come back.
Hi, this is Steve Vetran from Chula Vista, California, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Welcome back, everybody. That's music from Catch a Fire with Now Girl. You're listening to 420 Radio. I'm Radical Russ, coming to you from legal Potland, Oregon, where we're still shaken up by the death of Sandra Bland in custody in Texas, outside of Hempstead, Texas, of all places. And I went to break talking about the mugshot. When you see this mugshot of Sandra Bland, it looks a little strange. Her eyes have this kind of empty quality to them. And as more people analyze the photo, I'm reading on Twitter, reading a lot of people commenting on Twitter, how especially black women are talking about her dreadlocks. She's kind of got the lock hairstyle. And seeing the shadow on her dreads against the wall doesn't quite look right. And the more people talked about it, the more they say, hey, you know what this looks like? It looks like someone who's lying on a floor or propped up against a wall, the way the shadows are hitting. It doesn't look like someone who's standing up. Then later today, I see a Twitter post come across that shows a mugshot of a Hispanic man at the same jail cell, at the same jail, standing up against a wall where you can clearly see it's a brick wall. It's one of those cinder block kind of things. You can see the line of grout where the cinder blocks are, right? In other words, a backdrop that looks completely different than the backdrop Sandra Bland's mugshot was shot on. She's a 6 foot tall woman, so there's no doubt she would have been tall enough for you to be able to see these bricks if they were shooting the photos in the same place. Some people are speculating that Sandra Bland may have been dead in that photo, that they may have been playing a Weekend at Bernie's game, that they may have injured her so badly during the arrest, perhaps a subdural hematoma, you know, some sort of brain problem, that maybe she dies in custody. Maybe she dies in the back of the squad car. Maybe she dies soon when she gets to the jail and they attempt to cover it up. Maybe that's what happened. We'll see. Now, ABC 13 News in Houston is just mentioned or has just released audio, a voicemail from Sandra Bland, allegedly to her friend. And let's play that audio for you. This is a voicemail from jail, I believe.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Tom Abrams in the Eyewitness Newsroom. We want to bring you new information in the Sandra Bland investigation. She is the woman who was arrested by DPS and then later died in Waller County Jail. We've obtained a copy of a voicemail that she left for a friend while she was incarcerated in the Waller County Jail, and now we want to share it with you.
Hey, this is me. I just was able to see the judge. I don't really know. They got me set at a $5,000 bond. I'm still just at a loss for words, honestly, about this whole process. How they're switching lanes with no signal turn into all of this, I don't even know. But I'm still here, so I just call me back when you can.
And for more on the Sandra Bland investigation, you can go to abc13.com and watch Eyewitness News beginning at 4 o'clock.
Now, that does not sound like a woman who was waiting to kill herself. She just mentioned talking to the judge and getting a $5,000 bond. And remember, this all happened because the cop pulled her over for failing to signal. The cop pulled her over for failing to signal and then got upset when she wouldn't put out her cigarette as he ordered her to do. Now, there are people who are defending this cop and blaming the victim. Well, if she just would have been polite. Well, if she just would have done this. Well, if she just would have done that. Victim blaming. Well, if you hadn't worn that long skirt, maybe or that short skirt, you might not have gotten raped, right? She was asking for this? Is that the argument we're getting from people now? Even if you take at face value, the idea that someone should be meek and compliant at all times, no matter what a police officer tells them to do, you cannot accept the idea that this should have been escalated to that point. The officer who was dealing with Sandra Bland was in no immediate danger. She was not exhibiting any behaviors that would lead anyone to believe she was committing a crime or she was of any danger to anyone else. The worst you could convict her of at that point was black contempt of cop. That's what she was arrested for. Black contempt of cop. When she wouldn't get out of the vehicle, why is that police officer not calling for backup, not immediately getting someone to help out there? And for people that, and the other thing I'm reading across Twitter now are people trying to de-escalate this as not being a racial issue, but just being an issue of someone who wasn't in compliance. And again, I can pull up 100 videos of white people being far more belligerent to cops than this and walking away from the encounters with either a ticket or a warning. So this is clearly, clearly racial. It's even more clearly racial when you start to look at the history of that Waller County, or is it Wallace County? What's it called? Wallace? Waller? I don't know. It's even more clear when you look at the history of this department and the police chief involved there, who has been cited or been received complaints about racist mistreatment in the past. And it's just sad when you read some of the comments here, some of the Twitter things coming across just blow your mind. I mean, consider the case of Dylan Roth. Dylan Roth, right? The guy who recently shot people up in the black church. Remember that? The cops took him to Burger King after they got him. This guy walks in to a black church and point blank murders 9 people, and he's well armed, and somehow cops take him down without firing a shot at him. Somehow he's alive in custody, and they're taking him to a Burger King. A guy who shoots 9 black people in a church gets treated better by the cops than an educated black woman asserting her rights. It's long past time people recognize that there's a serious systemic racism in our police departments, in our law enforcement, in our courts, in our entire criminal justice system. But some people will do all they can. Some people will use every word they can muster to try to defend this. And there's some of them are the same people who are these open carry types talking about the New World Order and how the cops and we're turning into a police state and they're coming for our guns. But when it's a black person murdered by a cop, when you have the most significant and glaring example of tyranny and police abuse possible, the murdering of unarmed citizens, these folks, well, they can't come up with enough excuses why it happened. Well, he shouldn't have talked back. Well, he shouldn't have turned around. Well, he shouldn't have run from the cop. Well, he should have obeyed every single order. How can you hold those two thoughts in your head? That somehow Obama and Jade Helm 15 and the New World Order and the Illuminati and the police state are coming to take over and take our guns and enslave us all and put us into the FEMA camps. But when it happens to the black people, well, it's their fault. They did something wrong. The cops are fine. We should trust our cops. They have a tough job. Here's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. This is a clip from CNN. Mark Lamont Hill is talking to Harry Houck, or Hoke, I'm not sure, former police detective, NYPD, who blames her, saying if she wasn't, quote, arrogant, this never would have happened. Let's give this a listen.
Get out of the car! And then you I will light me? You up! Get out!
Wow.
Now!
Wow.
Get out of the car!
Ready for a failure to signal.
I will light you up, he said. That was dash cam video of 28-year-old Sandra Bland's arrest during a traffic stop on July 10th. 3 days after that traffic stop, Bland was dead in a Texas jail cell. But who's to blame for what happened? Sonny Hostin is here, CNN's legal analyst and a former federal prosecutor. Also, Harry Houck.
We'll listen to that in just a second when we come back from break. Because right now, it's 420.
I spent the last 2 years of high school in a daze.
Yeah, it's 420 here in legal Potland, Oregon. And given what we're about to listen to, that timing couldn't have been any better. I'm going to need to take a little bit of a smoke break, listen to some Irie Wednesday music with Gordon Green before we dig into this stuff. Stay tuned.
This is 420radio.org. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Unfortunately, Gordon Green can't join us today for our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tune, so we're going to pull something from our good friend Chief Greenbud. He's got a new album coming out soon, Chief Greenbud 4, and we'll have him on the show to tell you more about that very, very soon. And I needed something that was happy and light and also a Chief Greenbud original. So you may have heard a lot of his parody songs, but he also writes some original tunes, and this is one of them. Let's all get along and take a walk to Jamaica with Chief Greenbud.
Don't need a ticket for an aeroplane. I don't need a boat to float me away. I don't need to grow wings and fly. I'm gonna walk to Jamaica. I think it's time I need to disappear. I've got to get myself away from here. My travel plans are perfectly clear. I'm gonna walk to Jamaica. Well, I hope the Rasta man has got something for me. 'Cause it's been at least 3 days since I've gotten any sleep. Thank you. can say I've gone insane. I really wish I had the time to explain that I can't get there by jumping a train. I'm gonna walk to Jamaica. Well, I know the Rasta man will take good care of me. I guess that's one good thing about being the chief. Well, I know the ganja man will take good care of me. It's been about 2 weeks since I've smoked any weed. I don't need a ticket for an aeroplane. I don't need a boat to float me away. I don't need to grow wings and fly. I'm gonna walk to Jamaica. I'm gonna walk to Jamaica.
I'm Trickster Phillips from St. Charles County, Missouri, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Hey, everybody. It's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific for Drug Policy Facts, podcasting at drugwarfacts.org. Hosted by the editor of Drug War Facts, this show is a wealth of information for seekers of truth in the drug policy debates. Check our online listings for Drug Policy Facts with Doug McVeigh from drugwarfacts.org.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Music from Dengue Fever. That's one of our original bands that we like to play. They had a song called Snibong, and I found it because my little music search was looking for the word bong. Turns out it was had nothing to do with bongs. That's the type of music you'll hear on Gordon Green's Music Planet tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific Time on 420 Radio. The best of world music. All sorts of great stuff to hear. And new artists to learn about and become excited about. Even though you don't understand the words to some of the songs that are in different languages, it's really interesting music and worth giving a listen to. So if you got the time, check it out tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific time for Gordon Green's Music Planet. You can also catch the Planet weekends at midnight as a part of our five-hour music block, our weekend music party, right here on 420radio.org. Now we're continuing to talk about the Sandra Bland case, and it's just so sad, and so many questions still yet to be answered. And let's play devil's advocate, or shall we say cop's advocate, which is really, I mean, at these days is becoming the same thing, isn't it? Let's suppose that everything. Okay, if you want to give it the most generous reading of the events that happened, watching the video and following up on all the stuff that's coming out, the most generous reading you can give it is that this cop lost his cool when she wouldn't extinguish her cigarette. And that provocation led to her resisting arrest. Now, according to Texas state code, you're resisting arrest when you're not complying with a cop arresting you, and whether or not the arrest is lawful is not a defense against resisting arrest. You feel me? Right? So if a cop has said, you're under arrest, I'm arresting you, it doesn't matter whether his arrest is legal or illegal, he can do that. Now, if the arrest was illegal, you can then fight that, get it taken off your record, get restitution, whatever. But you'd still be liable for resisting it. Okay, so there's that. And you could, if you want to be charitable, say, yeah, she was pulling away from him. She was kicking toward him. You could say that. So the most charitable reading would be he pulls this woman over for not signaling, gets a little upset at her attitude, because he mentions at the beginning what an attitude she had, right? You seem irritated, right? It escalates, she resists arrest, he arrests her, right? So that's a charitable reading of it. You can assume, okay, he would have done the same thing to a white woman who gave the same lip. You can assume that. Let's pretend. Let's pretend we live in that place. Even if you accept all of that, how in the hell does this woman kill herself in the jail? The last contact anyone had with her in the jail was at 7 a.m., or 7:55 a.m. Let me see if I can find this timeline again. This is a Washington Post report here. Where is it at? There we go. The video of the hours before Bland's death shows an officer stop at her cell at just after 7 a.m. on July 13th, Monday. The officer visually noted she was in good health, Captain Brian Cantrell, a spokesman for the Waller County Sheriff's Office, told reporters. Ms. Bland contacted the main control room via intercom at 7:55 a.m., Cantrell said. Ms. Bland was inquiring on how to make a phone call. End quote. Just before 9 a.m., the video shows a female officer approach the cell, peer in, and then ask another officer for help. So between 7:55 in the morning and 9 a.m., this woman hangs herself and dies. If we're going to give it the most charitable reading again. She was in good health at 7 a.m. She calls the intercom at 7:55 a.m. Just before 9 a.m., female officer finds her dead. Now, if you, again, want to give it the most charitable reading, maybe she'd had decided to kill herself by that time. And at 7:55, she tries to make a phone call so she can call her friends and family to say goodbye before she strangles herself with a plastic bag that is somehow allowed for prisoners to have in their cells out of camera range. So even if we give the most charitable reading of this for the cops, a woman still died in their custody. Like their defense here is, oops, somehow we allowed someone to commit suicide. Oops, oops. See, when you're imprisoning someone, you're supposed to take that stuff away from them, aren't you? I know when I've been in jail, and I've been in jail, they take your shoes so you don't have your shoelaces. They take your belt so you don't have anything to hang yourself with, right? They put you in the flip-flops. This was even for the short time I was in the Utah jail in holding, just for like 3 hours. So she's in jail for 3 days with plastic bags that are this long, about 4 or 5 foot long. The guy who reported on this, the jailer, or who was it, the spokesperson, I can't remember where this part was, but mentions, you know, the description was he holds his hands out between 4 and 5 feet wide to indicate how long the bag was. So this isn't like your little, you know, cubicle trash can 4 gallon bag. We're talking one of those 30 gallon big industrial size trash bags. Those are allowed in jail cells? Really? Holy shit. So the most charitable reading of all of this is these cops are so incompetent. These jailers are so incompetent. They are leaving people in cells with the materials they need to kill themselves and so little oversight that they're able to do so in less than an hour. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you buy that? Do you believe any of that? I don't. Don't believe it for a second. And the mugshot, man, you go online and look at this woman's mugshot. There's something really wrong here, man. Something really wrong with the mugshot. I just have, you know, it's hard for me to even think of other topics. I mean, I know I cover the drug war, and you know, there's a drug war aspect to this, even though no drugs are involved in any way whatsoever in this case. I believe that the failure of our police to be able to treat our citizens equally, black and white, owes to the drug war. It was the drug war that turned certain neighborhoods into the so-called sketchy neighborhoods. It was the drug war that disproportionately arrested black men and broke up their families, left their sons with no older men to look up to, that has also disproportionately brought black women, who are often the girlfriends of some of the people that are brought up disproportionately on the drug charges. They end up going to prison longer than the people who actually were involved. Then that reinforces in the minds of a lot of people a certain branding, if you will, of blackness. That criminality and violence is a part of the brand. And, you know, when they see, when folks in, you know, let's say Kansas or Idaho or whatever, who know very few black people in their day-to-day lives, see black people, they see them on the news in handcuffs. They hear these terrible stories of gangbangers and drive-bys. And then that gets amplified in their minds when their only experience with black culture is what shocking thing comes out on a rap video or a rap album about shooting up my gat and talking about hoes and whatever it is that white people conceive black culture to be. And it becomes this feedback loop that reinforces itself. And I think it all starts with the drug war. As someone, Jasiri X in my Twitter feed retweeted someone who said, in all my time living in the hood, I've never seen a gun factory or a coca plantation. Which makes a really good point. I believe that the cases we see of Sandra Bland and Victor White was the guy's name? Let me go back to my Twitter feed, make sure I'm getting the name right, because I had to relook up his story. Victor. But the man who was in cuffs. Cops had him in cuffs behind his back. Victor White was his name. Handcuffed behind the back, shot himself in the front of his chest. Amazing. It's amazing the agility and creativity of black people who want to kill themselves when they're in custody, isn't it? Amazing. They can shoot themselves in the chest with their hands cuffed behind their back, and they can hang themselves with a plastic bag with their feet still able to touch the ground. It's just incredible, the creativity of black people in police custody. Not buying it. I'm not buying this story coming out of Texas, especially finding out that the chief down there in this Texas county, Waller County, had to transfer or move, had all sorts of racist complaints against him already in the past. Other news in the Sandra Bland case, the coroner has done the autopsy, but is not releasing the autopsy results, citing the pending investigation. Oh, but they released the mental health evaluation just as soon as they could, didn't they? The mental health evaluation where she checked, no, I'm not interested in killing or hurting myself, but she also answered honestly that she had dealt with depression in her life, tried a suicide attempt with pills once. So, of course, that leads people to question, oh, once she was in jail, did knowledge of her previous suicide attempt provide them with the cover for staging a suicide? Is that how that works? Too many questions. Too many questions. She apparently made the phone call that we heard earlier was supposedly at on Saturday. And of course, these jail videos and stuff where the cops are looking in at her supposedly show her still there alive as of Monday morning. But it's interesting that the cops in the video, in the jail video that are checking in on her when you see them walking by and such, don't seem to be talking or looking at someone who's actually there. You know what I mean? Like interacting in any way. And it's not until that female cop who finds her body comes in that they actually notice any of this. It's just, this is not passing the smell test in any way. The mugshot of her looking as if she's lying down compared to the mugshot of the other guy standing up against the wall, that's suspicious. It's all just reeks.
America's RR7 secret agent of progressive change.
The name's Belville, Russ Belville.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Goldfinger. And then, what is this with jail cells with garbage cans in them? They showed the picture of her jail cell, and they showed one of them big plastic, you know, 55-gallon or 30-gallon, whatever size it is, but big old bins. No, it's 55-gallon. And the big old, you know, clear white plastic bag they put on it. Why do you need a garbage can that big in your jail cell? Like, are you creating a lot of garbage with your nothing that you have in jail? God, this makes no sense.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana, less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Oye, tú sabes, los empresarios, con sentimiento latino, mami latino.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Toker Talk Radio. That's music from Empresarios with Sentimiento Latino. Sentimiento Latino. I think I got that right. Did I get that, judges? Yay! I have a hard enough time speaking English. I should stick to one language. We're talking about the Sandra Bland case, and according to a story in the Daily Beast, Sandra Bland tried to bond herself out of jail. She called a bail bondsman, and Joe Booker of Hempstead told the Daily Beast, "I talked to her when she first went to jail. I called her mother for her and then hung up." Now, she was on $5,000 bond, so she needed to raise $500 to get out. She only had $100. So, yeah. And they are pointing out now that in March, on Facebook, in a video, she said that she'd been dealing with a little bit of depression and PTSD, according to the video. Let's see if we've got that available. We can give that a listen.
My kings and queens, it is March 1st, 2015. I want to first of all say I apologize. I am sorry, my kings and queens. It's been 2 long weeks and I have been missing in action. But I gotta be honest with you guys. I am suffering from something that some of you all may be dealing with right now. It's a little bit of depression as well as PTSD. I've been real stressed out over these past couple of weeks, but that does not excuse me not keeping my promise to you all by letting you know that somebody cares about you, someone loves you, and that you can go out there and do great things. But I want you guys to know that I'm a human. And so if there are any of you that are dealing with these same things, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, it's okay. It is okay to talk about it. I think that those illnesses are something that the African-American culture likes to turn a blind eye to and act like that they don't affect us. And they do. They really do. So I'm coming out here now, Sandy Speaks, and letting you know that, yeah, I deal with it. And some of you watching this probably deal with it too. And you have to know that it is okay.
Yeah, that's Sandra Bland speaking on her Facebook page back in March. And, you know, the people that want to defend what's going on, and again, you know, not all the info's in. Maybe indeed she did kill herself. Maybe she did. Now, if that's the case, that doesn't absolve the police department. She's under your control. She shouldn't have the ability to kill herself. What the hell is up with putting garbage cans with 5-foot-long bags that can be twisted into ligatures into a cell? But when I see this video and I listen to her speaking and I understand the context of where we were in March and what was going on in March, was which black person being killed by cops was happening in March? Was that Charleston? Let's find out. Charleston, police shooting. When did that happen? I mean, the shooting of Walter Scott happened in April. So before Walter Scott, but after, I guess this would be after Eric Garner. When was Eric Garner? Eric Garner case. Death of Eric Garner. That was in July of 2014. So it was after Eric Garner. Let's see. Let's try Michael Brown, Ferguson. And see what we get there. What was the timeline on that? Michael Brown and Ferguson. August of 2014. All right. So when she, and clearly in this video, she refers to my kings and queens. This is, you know, kind of, you know, pattern for the black community. She's speaking to fellow black folks and talking about this PTSD and depression in the context of the African-American community, not giving much credence to those things. But I'm telling you, if you had to live your life every day as a black person in America, you couldn't blame them for getting PTSD, given what they have to go through in life. You couldn't blame them for some depression. Hell, look at the statistics. I saw something the other day that blew my mind, and I wish I'd memorized it because I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. So I might not be entirely accurate with each number, but I'm accurate in the scope here. And it was, what is the average net worth of an American family, financially speaking? What is their average net worth? And for white families, it was something like $70,000, $60,000. I don't remember the exact number. And for black families, it was a four-digit number. It was like $6,000 or something, $7,000. It just blew me away. Like, net worth, like, add up all your shit, all your money, all your accounts, everything you owned, subtract your debt, blah, blah, blah. What's your net worth? It was like $6,000 for a black family compared to 10 times that much for a white family. I'd be depressed too. Oh my God. So when she talks about suffering from depression and PTSD, and she refers it back to the people she's talking to, a lot of you may be feeling this too. Maybe feeling in the active sense, like, given what's happening to us, we would feel depressed or some post-traumatic stress. This doesn't sound like a young woman who's going to kill herself in a jail cell after trying to arrange bail, after saying she was going to go to court. She couldn't wait to get this to court. That makes no sense to me. And there's another report here that I'm trying to find. I'm trying to find a guaranteed source for this, but I'm only finding some tweets on it. I'm not finding any mainstream reporting, but saying that she told the bail bondsman on the phone the night before she died that she was afraid for her life in jail. Now, I'm trying to find some confirmation of that. I'm just seeing it on some tumblers. I'm seeing an original source of My Sharona 1987, but I'm not seeing what the link is originally. So I will investigate that, see if I can find more on that particular situation. But nothing in this story points to someone who would kill themselves in their jail cell. But it's possible. I mean, when Robin Williams committed suicide, weren't we all just shocked as hell? Like, what? Robin Williams? So yeah, suicide can be an unpredictable, depression can be very non-conformist, I guess. It can be tough to keep track of, can be difficult to understand. And it can be shocking when it happens. So, I mean, I guess there's a possibility things happen the way the cops say they happened. But even if that's the case, they could not have happened had this cop used proper procedure. And he's already been reassigned to desk duty and already been, you know, it's already been noted that he didn't follow proper procedure and their training on how to deal with people in a professional manner. So that's not even in doubt at this point. The cop did handle the situation badly. Now, you can make the point that she could have been a little more yes, sir, no, sir. could have meekly submitted to what was going on. But, you know, I don't know so much about that because I've been reporting on these cops for a long time. And do you remember a story we covered? Was it last year? When not once but twice women were pulled over by cops in Texas who then took them out of the car, put them in front of the dash cam camera on the side of the road as traffic is going by and manually penetrated their anus and vagina searching for contraband because they smelled pot. You remember that story? And you remember in the video how the cop doing the searching doesn't bother to change latex gloves when he moves from one woman to the other? Now, I can't tell you whether or not Sandra Bland had any knowledge of those things going on, but I do. I've reported on the cops in New Mexico giving people multiple enemas, colonoscopies, strip searches, and laxatives. Like one guy going through 8 procedures because they suspected he had drugs planted on him. So I can quite understand why someone might not want to comply with a Texas police officer's order to get out of the car. For all she knows, the next thing that's coming from the cop is getting finger banged on the side of the road in front of the public. So this is gone way too far. And there's a hashtag that's trending right now. Hashtag, if I die in police custody. That's trending. That's like a popular sentiment in America right now. People posting, if I die in police custody, I didn't commit suicide. I didn't want to harm myself. I asked for a lawyer. If I die in police custody, remember my name. If I die in police custody, I didn't want to die. I asked for a lawyer, blah, blah, blah. That's trending. We live in a country where there is a significant portion, enough significant portion of the people who fear for their lives if they get in a police encounter, that it's a popular topic. We're not talking Honduras, man. We're not talking Iran or China or North Korea where this is trending. This is American citizens afraid of American cops on American soil. And of course, we all know the statistic that you're far more likely to die at the hands of a police officer in America than a terrorist. I mean, excuse the redundancy there, but it's far more likely to happen. I want to like law enforcement. I want to applaud cops. I want that to be the way our country is, that we all trust and appreciate and respect cops because we need cops. There are awful, violent people out there that need to be subdued and controlled. There does need to be somebody out there enforcing laws. But the more of these cases happen, the more of these bad cops we see, the more or the absence of the good cops ratting them out. And in this case, what looks like to some of us a cover-up makes us not trust any of the cops. And that exacerbates our feelings of fear of them. And that exacerbates us resisting them. And that exacerbates them attacking us. And that gets us killed. And it all starts with the war on drugs. Well, folks, that's all the time we got today. Time flies when you legalize. Join us tomorrow for more news, views, and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. From Legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. Yeah. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. Yeah. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.